Shifting to developer tooling, the most technically interesting announcement today is Dino Desktop. Dino, which is the JavaScript and TypeScript runtime that Ryan Dahl created after reflecting on what he'd do differently with Node.js, has announced a desktop application runtime. The HN post from General Maximus has 476 points and 189 comments, and the community reaction is a mix of genuine excitement and pointed skepticism.
Walk me through what Dino Desktop actually is, because the name suggests Electron, but I'm guessing it's more interesting than that.
It's considerably more interesting. Rather than bundling Chromium with your application like Electron does, which is why Electron apps are famously bloated, often weighing in at 100 to 200 megabytes for what is essentially a web wrapper, Dino Desktop builds on the operating system's native WebView. So on macOS, you're using WK WebView. On Windows, you're using WebView 2. The Dino runtime handles the JavaScript and TypeScript execution, and the native WebView handles rendering. The result is applications that should be dramatically smaller and that have access to Dino's security model, including its permission system.
The permission system is actually what makes Dino architecturally distinct from Node. In Node, a script has access to the file system, the network, environment variables, and system calls by default. You have to add security. In Dino, the model is inverted. Everything is denied unless explicitly granted. For desktop applications where you're distributing code that runs on a user's machine with their credentials and their files, that security posture is significantly more defensible.
The HN comments are tracking two threads. One is the comparison to Tori, which is the Rust-based desktop framework that took a similar use-the-system WebView approach but lets you write the backend in Rust. Tori has built a strong community among developers who want something lighter than Electron, and Dino Desktop is entering that space directly. The second thread is about the maturity question. Dino itself is still building out its Node compatibility story. And some commenters are skeptical that desktop application needs will be a priority when the core runtime still has gaps.
The counterpoint to the skepticism is that Dino has been consistent and deliberate about what it ships. The Dino team doesn't announce things speculatively. If desktop support is in the documentation, it's because they've done the foundational work. Whether the ecosystem around it catches up is a separate question from whether the technical foundation is solid.
Now, less exciting from a product standpoint, but arguably more urgent, the OpenAI Codex logging bug. This is a GitHub issue, number 28224, on the Codex repository, and the bug report describes a scenario where Codex's logging system can write terabytes of data to local SSDs. This is not a minor annoyance. Terabytes of log data on a developer's laptop will fill the drive and either crash the system or corrupt the file system. The thread has 69 comments, and the severity is being actively debated. But the issue is confirmed as real.
The business context here is that Codex is OpenAI's AI coding agent. It's the product they're positioning as a competitive response to GitHub Copilot, Cursor, and a wave of AI coding tools. A bug that can silently destroy a developer's local storage is not just a technical embarrassment, it's a trust problem at exactly the moment when OpenAI is trying to establish Codex as a professional-grade tool.
The logging discipline issue is actually quite common in early-stage developer tools. Verbose logging is enormously useful during development, and when you ship fast, it's easy to leave debug-level logging in a code path that runs much more frequently in production than it did in testing. The specific failure mode here appears to be that certain agent workflow loops generate per-iteration log entries without any rotation or size cap. So a long-running task can accumulate logs without bound. The fix is straightforward: add log rotation and a configurable maximum size. But the fact that it shipped this way points to a testing gap.
And rounding out the developer tools segment, there's a genuinely useful explainer post today on JSON-LD for personal websites. JSON-LD, that's JSON for linked data, is the structured data format that search engines use to understand the semantic meaning of web content. The post at hawksley.dev breaks down how to add JSON-LD to a personal site so that Google and other engines can correctly identify you as a person, link your content to your social profiles, understand your organization, and display rich results in search. It's gotten 226 points and 69 comments, which suggests the community found it actually useful, not just interesting in principle.
The practical value here is underappreciated. A lot of developers have personal sites that are technically well-built, but semantically invisible to search engines. Adding a schema.org person block in JSON-LD doesn't just help with SEO. It's part of how the emerging knowledge graph infrastructure understands who created what content. As AI-powered search becomes more prevalent, having machine-readable metadata about yourself and your work becomes more important, not less.